Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are my fellow Voyager actor, who from 2001 until 2004 also directed four episodes of Star Trek Enterprise, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, your favorite forever ensign, Garrett Wong. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/the Delta Flyers.
Well, hello there. Four episodes of Enterprise.
Is that correct?
I think that's right. I think I did one each year or something like that.
One per season,
actually, right? Actually, I don't think I did any the last season of Enterprise.
So you did two in season three, maybe.
Maybe something like that, or two in one of the seasons, yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that cast. It was a lot of fun.
Well,
it definitely was more serious than our cast.
Who, Enterprise was more serious?
Yeah. Okay.
But they all embraced you with open arms, though.
Oh, yeah. I directed one of my episodes, maybe the first one I directed. I still had the uniform that I stole.
I know. You son of a gun. I saw that. Yeah, and you I wore it to direct one day. Yeah,
yeah, with my baseball hat, my tennis shoes, and the uniform on, and just trying to fit in, you know, and they laughed. I'm sure they did.
Yeah. But it's also helpful that everyone on crew was the same crew that we had.
Yes,
so it was almost like a seamless transition for you to direct on that show.
I feel like, they were a very serious cast. They were, you know, they were very professional and pretty serious. And I brought our Voyager energy, which was a little more
fun
and silly.
Goofy. Yeah.
And I wore the uniform one time. I remember I used to play music, which, you know, but during lighting setups that people would sometimes.
I love that you played music.
That's distracting. But I enjoyed it. I tried to bring our Voyager energy to the Enterprise.
I hear you. And I love it.
It was fun.
It's wonderful. Yeah. All right.
What is this week?
Oh, my goodness. So this week is the episode Drive. So excited.
You said something about that last week. I'm like,
I did.
Okay.
I did.
All right. Drive. Yeah. I should probably be excited too.
Yeah, you should be very excited about this.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. So let's go watch this episode.
We'll be right back
with our recap and discussion of Drive, which I hope Robbie would remember more than less. Hopefully. We'll see.
Okay.
Hey everyone, we're back from watching Drive.
But
before you say a thing, I just want to say we didn't talk about this in the intro. I am now wearing Voyager shirt, which I will say
is the softest shirt you've ever.
Yes, that's what I was going to get to. Next level is the brand of shirts that we use to print all our stuff on, and they are supremely soft. But this particular shirt is next level's ultra soft, so it is softer than all of the other next level shirts. So if you already own a Delta Flyer shirt that is not this design, that's the soft but not as soft as this shirt.
Unbelievable soft.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I like it.
I think Rebecca said it's something like it's called suede cotton or
something like that.
So it's got like it's like butter. It's like wearing butter.
Who's the guy that wears Star Lord?
Doesn't sound comfortable.
No.
I know. So don't think of it as like messy butter. Think of it as wearing really clean butter.
You're wearing clean butter. So you know Chris Pratt, who plays Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes, he does a commercial for a t-shirt company. And it's basically him touching a shirt and he's like, wow, this is so soft. I mean,
it's very funny.
And it's funny because back in the old days when we were on the show, no celebrity or actor in Hollywood would do commercials on American television. They would do them in Japan or Europe or whatever, right? And then now, look at this. Chris Pratt's, you know, basically.
He's doing a t-shirt commercial, but he's never touched our t-shirt.
That's what I was going to say. I'm feeling like, I'm sure that's soft, but it's not as soft as this ultra soft next level.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. And you can get this shirt, y'all, at thedeltaflyers.org, our website. Just go to the merch store, our store there on deltaflyers.org. And you can see this wonderful shirt. It's the Voyager shirt. So
this shirt sold out in like 36 hours or something, the first round. We've ordered more, but don't miss it because it's a cool shirt.
This, that second order probably won't last long, to be honest. All right. Let's get right into this.
Let's do. Written by Michael Taylor. Did you guess that? I can't remember.
No, I did not guess that correctly because I said, I think I said...
Brian Fuller.
Fuller.
You said Brian Fuller.
And I remember. I think...
Ken Biller, I think.
Yes, you did. You said
Biller. Both wrong on the writer. Director, I can't believe you got it.
I cannot believe he's back in season seven. Robbie, I saw him at least a couple of times in the last couple of seasons. And you feel like he exited early.
I thought
early
he left
he
in like
done.
Season four.
He was just, I'm done. No, I know he can. Because it was like, every time I saw him, I was like, wow, you're back again. Because, you know, we got so used to him. He was our first director. He directed the pilot. He was the pilot episode director, and we all enjoyed his directing style, and we loved him. We really did. Yeah. He had a great sense of humor. And whenever I saw him in the later seasons, I was like, oh, you're back. So that's why I threw his name out. Like, you know,
I can't believe it. I thought it was Mike Vahar, I think, but
yeah. Well, a broken clock will be right twice a day. And that was what happened for me. Go ahead.
Guest stars, we have Sia Batten as Irina. Sia Batten, her first job was a TV movie, maybe, or a pilot that didn't get picked up. They used to make pilots. If they didn't get picked up, they'd air them as like a movie special.
Yeah.
But the show was Weird World. And I didn't put the date down, but it was right around this time. It was right around like 98 or something. Weird World or 2000.
Okay.
Was her first
Is it, a TV show or a feature film? What is it?
I think it was a TV movie, like a TV pilot that, Weird World.
Don't know.
There you go.
I don't know.
That's her first job.
Do you remember her? Do you remember her now? That outfit?
Yes. Vaguely, I remember her. She was also, Sia Batten was also on Deep Space Nine. She played Gul Dukat's daughter, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Wait, so she did that before Voyager? Or was that after Voyager?
Must have been right before.
Interesting.
Because this is our last season. Yeah, DS9 was off the air at this point.
She's also a really good singer.
Yeah, she was like a dancer singer or something.
Something like that. Because I saw her, you know, I saw some, it was, gosh, I feel like it was... somewhere in West Hollywood area, but I saw her name being advertised and I went.
Yeah.
I didn't even tell her. And then at the end of the thing, the performance, she saw me. She's like, "Oh my God, what are you doing here?" I said, "No, I just came to support you." So yeah. So she's very talented.
Our other actor is Brian George playing Ozal, the ambassador.
Oh yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And Brian George was born in Israel.
He's Israeli.
He's Israeli, but his family immigrated.
He looks like he's East Indian.
Well, his family was from India.
I got that right. I got that right.
They moved to Israel.
Yeah.
Emigrated to Israel. He was born there. Then he grew up in England. And then his first job as an actor was in Canada, a sitcom called The King of Kensington, 1976.
Wow.
He was in The King of Kensington. A Canadian sitcom about a convenience store in Kensington Avenue in Toronto or something.
Wow.
Brian George. Yeah. He was also...
I've seen his face, though. I've seen his face around.
Yes. Sure. He's best known as Babu Bhatt on Seinfeld.
Oh, my gosh.
He is Babu Bhatt.
Huh.
So Brian George. Yeah. It was good to see his face. I thought he was he was great. Does a lot of comedy. We have Patrick Kilpatrick back on our show as Asan. He was Razik in Initiations, the Kazon episode.
Yeah.
We've talked about Patrick Kilpatrick.
We have. Patrick is I'm all in actor.
He is 150%.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But you gotta love that though. You gotta love a guy that says like, I'm in 135% over.
He's a method actor. 100%. Even there's a shot in this episode, even a reaction shot where it just cuts to him in the briefing room.
Yeah.
And his eyes are sideways and you can see he's like, he is so method actor. Even in a reaction shot.
I got to tell you, we got to get him on this show. Are you kidding me?
That'd be amazing.
That'd be a great interview.
I don't know if we talked about Patrick's first job when he was on Initiation.
Yeah,
but I will say 1984, he was on the soap opera, The Edge of Night.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Old soap. One of the original, the OG soaps back in the 80s.
They filmed that in New York, that one?
They did, yeah. Okay, that was New York-based.
The Edge of Night. Oh, my God. I don't even think that. Does that exist now?
No. I don't think there's only a couple left, but there used to be dozens of them.
Right.
All day long were soap operas, and The Edge of Night was a OG classic, big-time soap.
Yeah.
Okay, and one other Patrick Kilpatrick credit, if we've never talked about it. Right around 1984, when he got on The Edge of Night, he also did the classic low-budget horror film, The Toxic Avenger.
Oh, my gosh.
That was... The Toxic Avenger was the original Troma Studios' first film that launched them as a studio and a cheesy horror film company.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the first one, Toxic Avenger, yeah.
Have you seen that?
I think I have years ago. Oh, my God. It's crazy pants.
It's so cheesy. It's the best. It really is. Yeah. The Toxic Avenger.
And then we also have Robert Tyler as Joxum. His first job was 1983. The feature film Easy Money with Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
And the last thing we have was the assistant who was just on a view screen, I think, talking to Brian George as the ambassador.
Yeah.
That is the assistant. The actor was Chris Kovacs.
Okay.
Voyager was his first job.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Congrats to Mr. Kovacs.
All right. Let's do a little... poetry synopsis of
sure.
The show.
All right, here we go. My haiku for Drive. Tom enters peace race. Belana wants some romance. Evil plan thwarted. Do you like my use of the word thwarted?
Thwarted. Yes. I like it.
All right, thanks. All right.
Okay, here's my limerick for Drive. The Delta Flyer is back from the dead. In the space race, Tom wants to come in ahead. Arena makes a bad choice, but PT shippers rejoice because somewhere off screen, Tom and Belana get wed.
Oh, that's a good one. I like
Thank
it.
You.
Nice
Thank
job.
You. I can't believe I forgot, like when we were trying to remember this episode.
Yeah.
I remember the outfits. I don't remember that Tom Belana got married. I don't remember anything. I just remember the costume. That was all I remembered. And this is a big episode for both of us.
This is a huge episode. Yeah. For Tom and Harry and Belana as well. And you just remember the uniforms. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's fine. And now you remember. Are you happy that you finally got to see this again after all these years? Okay.
Okay. Right. So when we start, we are in the Delta Flyer. Paris and Harry are testing this rebuilt Delta Flyer. And my first thought was, wait, what? We're testing the Delta Flyer. We just saw it in the last episode. And
episodes are out of order. We already talked about that.
We talked about this, but it's just like, can't they... Wouldn't they fix some loop, some dialogue or something? Nope.
No.
Yeah, we're in the newly completed Delta Flyer. Paris is, piloting away.
Yeah. Were any of the controls different? No, they're all the same, right?
Exactly the same. Yeah, it's exactly the same. We're flying through this asteroid field and we're flipping sideways and going straight up. And I have to say... Yeah. I wish that we had done like the G-forces more dramatically in the shots.
Because
kind of normal.
Yeah.
I wish the camera had been shaking or we had been, acting a little more intensely. And I feel that way through a lot of this, that the flying if we're talking about race car, like think about race car movies, like think about the intense coverage, yeah. and, you know, as yeah. you're turning a corner, if you're in a rally car and it's like sliding, and none of that was very dramatic through the whole episode.
No, but it, you know, part of that's on me too. Like some of my reactions I should have had, or my lines, there should have been more at stake. You know, I felt like there yeah. was a little light. And
it just felt again, like the, the camera
should have, yeah, yeah, it should have really made you feel like, whoa, they're hitting high speeds, but
it should have been a team conversation with all of us through yes. this and the later stuff.
Yeah.
But what, not only I think did we not play it as intensely, but then when you cut outside, so we're yeah. flying through this asteroid field, testing the thing,
yeah,
you know, Harry's kind of nervous. Tom's like pushing the, you know, the edges and trying yeah. to fly past these rocks, this very crowded asteroid field. Right. But then when it cuts outside,
yeah,
we're like going, we're like limping along past these asteroids. Like they're not going, they're just kind of going slowly. I was like, what?
So true.
What? Is, I don't get it. Anyway, we were not going very fast. But a ship pulls up alongside of us.
Yeah.
And there's a cool shot below Tom through the moonroof. I love that yeah. we're using this moonroof shot.
Uh-huh.
Another ship pulls up alongside of us.
Yep.
And it scans us. And Paris hails them, asks for some identification. We hear a woman's voice.
Yep.
But instead of identifying herself, she starts listing off the parts she scanned. Vectored yeah. exhaust ports, accelerated driver coils. It's like pillow talk. It sounded like, and Tom's like, yeah, let's talk parts, car parts. He's into it. It was bizarre.
This was like Tom's 976 phone line call to some, you know, sexy yeah. call person.
Yeah. And she's like, hey, you want to race to that comet over there? She's like, And Tom's into it. He's ready to, for a drag race. And,
yeah,
and Harry's like, what are you doing?
I know, but the way you're talking to her, you were flirty McFlirty. I was thinking like, I don't know what, you know, everyone who's a PT shipper is feeling for Torres because of you were super flirty in this.
It scene. Was pretty was flirty. Like, and wow. And I think what I was playing, I think, was... Oh, we're talking about cars. Yeah.
Let's talk okay. about so this cars. Was you were getting into the whole, the machine thing. You know, this is the fast machine that I've built and I'm driving. And I love this kind of talk. Well, it came off otherwise.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But it was like both sides of it.
Yep.
Like, you know, she should have leaned into the vectored exhaust ports. Oh my gosh. Accelerated right. driver coil. Like, lean into. That's sexy talk instead of
right.
Oh, you're a dude, I'm a girl.
Yeah.
You know.
I hear you. The main problem with this scene was the stakes weren't high enough in the very beginning. You should be barely within inches.
Yeah, we should have been
hitting that asteroid and banking that thing. And we're it should be
around.
Like a freaking roller coaster ride at Six Flags. You know, you should be going all over the place, but you don't see that. But then like you said, the reactions of both of our dialogues, we kind of underplayed them for sure in this. But I will say this, I think the other scenes after this with Tom and Harry are some of the best, smoothest, easygoing banter between us.
Yeah, there's some great scenes.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, she invites him to a drag race. Yeah. Harris takes off. Harry suggests using the new impulse thrusters. So I guess we added something here. And we cut outside, and these impulse thrusters look pretty cool. They fold out from the back. They're glowing.
Yeah.
And then we shoot off and pass the other vessel.
That is your nitrous oxide, right?
That's my nitrous oxide if we're talking cars.
Yeah.
But this is where the shot outside where we pass her. I was like, we start going by like this, but the asteroids are just slowly, like, why are the asteroids flying by? I don't understand. Yeah, we're going, you know, 3 kilometers an hour, and she's going 2 kilometers an hour, and that's about the speed it looked like. It was bad.
Maybe they didn't have the budget. in visual effects to make the asteroids go by that quickly, but I hear you.
It almost looked like a joke when you cut out the shot of us passing. I was like, are you kidding me? Like,
Spaceballs was to Star Wars, you thought this was our kind of Spaceballs.
Oh my god,
our show. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was funny.
So this is losing points for you then, isn't it?
All this racing stuff is definitely losing points.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay. Yeah. All right. And then anyway, and then when she her ship almost, you know, her ship gets damaged, right? Something happens.
Yeah.
Her starboard nacelles
catch fire. Paris says, beam her over here. Yes. She pops in. Here's another point lost for me. She pops in. She's standing up.
And she goes like that. She coughs twice or something, right?
Yeah.
And then, why are you losing points? Because she was standing? She should have been sitting?
Yeah, if she was piloting her ship and about to die, she should have like come in a seated position, fallen on the, or just been
already
on her
sort of
knees,
down on the ground, like already gasping for breath,
down.
Right? Yeah.
It felt like she beamed in, standing up, like she was ready to get beamed in. And then she just bent over, one hand on a knee.
Right. Didn't like that. Okay. Well, what I didn't like was my cross to her. Me crossing over to her from where I was.
Oh, yeah, you go to help her.
Why am I help? She's not even... Yeah, you're right. If that help needs to be motivated, right? So I think in the script, that's what it said. Like, Harry goes over to help Irina because she's doubled over.
But she wasn't doing anything.
No, she acted like she was completely healthy. So therein lies the issue with... Because now my cross looks completely forced. Like, why is Harry doing that? Why would he be touching some alien...
I think because he thought she was hot. That's why.
Yes.
That's the only reason. And then Tom teases him right away.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, so he's going over there to get close to her because he thinks she's hot. That's not the original or scripted. Yeah. I don't think he's there because she's hot. It is mentioned that you say whatever, Enzeniger, you know.
Enzeniger, that's right. I knew he said something. He teases him.
Which then that's the tease, saying that he's flirting with her now, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the flirting was supposed to happen after he got there and noticed, you know, oh, wow, she's gorgeous or whatever, you know, or she's very attractive to me when he got up close. But the initial cross to her was supposed to be to help her, otherwise it doesn't make any sense.
But Harry's like, hey, come on back to Voyager with us. We can find you a spare and come on. Hey.
You can stay in Tom's quarters.
Oh man, that was funny. Okay. So we go to sickbay next.
Yep.
And B'Elanna's in there. She's trying to get the doctor to give up his reserved holodeck time.
Yeah.
Because he was going to play golf. He was going to play St. Andrews or something. And she wants to trade with him because she wanted to go with Paris on this vacation. The doctor says, what program are you planning to run? Horace says, something new called Getty Prime. And the doctor says, oh, I've heard of that. A vacation paradise that makes Ryza look like a tourist trap. Says yes, endless kilometers of crystalline beaches, mood reefs, bioluminescent waterfalls.
I want to go to Getty Prime.
What is a mood reef?
I want to go to that.
Bioluminescent waterfall, luminescent waterfalls. Yes. And then the doctor goes, and a championship golf course, if I'm not mistaken. Why don't I join you?
My only, you know, notes on this scene are when the doctor shows that putter that he's holding.
Is that in this scene?
What? Yeah, because he talks about
does he hold it up in that scene?
He does. You don't think that's
the scene? The crazy putter. Yes, I've got
the crazy putter. And I'm looking at that. I'm looking at that putter, and I'm thinking, what are you? I know they're trying to make it look more futuristic,
but
No, you know what it looked like? It looked like they took Wolverine's claws and made them into a, you know, putter face. Yeah. And I was supposed to look cool, but that would never have worked.
It did not
look
legit.
Come on
now.
Yeah.
I agree. I didn't buy the putter. In this scene, the doctor does give her the 3 hours.
Yes, he does.
He does. And she's thankful, doesn't want him joining. That's going to ruin the mood.
Right.
I love his line at the end as she walks out. She says, somehow I don't think that would add to the mood. She's walked out and he calls after her, "Don't be so sure. You haven't seen me in my bathing suit."
I know. That is funny, but it's sort of like, what? So you play golf in a bathing suit? That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, yeah, okay. But my takeaway from this, other than the putter being kind of
weird
and not really effective, was now you have a tourist that is so thinking about romance so into her guy. And we've seen other episodes where, like, you were injured in that haunting of, you know, where you were on the bio bed and she walks up and she's like, "What's going on? What's going on?" And there's no concern for the fact that it's you on the bio bed, right? There's other scenes that things have happened and it just seems like she's very nonchalant and you mean absolutely as much as what she had for breakfast. You know, she doesn't care.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of compassion. Consistency.
Consistency.
Of her really becoming more and more vulnerable. We've had moments in certain episodes where she's been vulnerable.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen it consistently.
That's why I like this episode because this whole thing, she's planning this very, very elaborate, multi-layered thing to do with you.
Yeah.
And it's so romantic. And we don't get a lot of that from her. So I kind of felt very pleased to see her behaving this way in this episode.
Yeah, agreed. We go in the shuttle bay. We see the alien ship. And inside, Harry's helping Arena make repairs to her vessel. She needs a viridium injector, of course. Who doesn't need a viridium injector? And Harry's like, which one is it? And she goes, the one with the long handle. And it's like, oh, yeah, of course. Trying to be cool. Mr. Cool.
Can I just say right now, you remember in the prior episode, I said a great punk band name would have been the Central Plexus, right?
We talked about,
and here's another name on the docket.
Viridium
Injector, straight up from Chicago. Yeah. Viridium Injector. That's all.
It's a good band name.
Okay.
Yeah. So Harry's kind of flirting with Arena and helping her out here. And, you know, they talk about her ship's capabilities, where she's from. Yeah. Paris comes in and says, "Your new power transformer is installed, ready to go." And Paris does say that her warp drive is kind of weak. And she says something like, "Well, yeah, warp drive's great if you want to go in a straight line."
But you flirt first because you say your impulse drive is a real beauty. You start it. You begin.
I think my intention, it's funny that you keep thinking I'm flirting with her. My intention was cars are hot. Like, I want to talk about cars. And clearly,
Harry's
the one that's into her.
Yeah.
Harry's the one that's into her, but Paris is into cars and she knows cars. So you want to talk cars? That was my intention there.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I know it was. But for me, I see it otherwise. So
okay.
I saw it otherwise.
Well, everything's flirting to you. So
yeah. This is the scene where she talks about the race. She brings it up, right? Yeah.
She talks about this race and that she was practicing for the race. And Paris is like, race? Wait, what?
Yeah.
In fact, I think at the end, he's like, she goes, I'm the kind of flying that I'm here for, warp's not the factor. The race course is 2 billion kilometers long.
Yeah. Paris is like, a non-warp speed race. So.
Yeah.
Impulse only.
And then Harry says at the end, last line is, well, what kind of race? And of course, that takes us to the briefing room where Paris now is filling everybody in on the race. It's called the Antarian Transstellar Race. Three segments covering 2.3 billion kilometers. And Tom is excited. He's pitching this race to everybody in the room.
He's got the captain
there. You got everybody. Harry says there's obstacles. So Tom and Harry are sort of describing the race. They want to fly the Delta Flyer, the new and improved Delta Flyer.
Yeah.
Tuvok,
the party pooper.
Yes. He sees no purpose and points out that it'll be a drain on the ship's resources. And Chakotay says, well, you know, you're going to need enriched deuterium fuel and the Flyer's not equipped for that.
Yeah.
And Harry goes, Arena, my love, offered us one. She's going to loan us one. So we don't, it's not going to be a drain on the resources. I don't think he says my love. But, you know.
I love that though. Thank you for making me laugh. Keep going.
Yes. Yes. And we also learn in the scene that this area was recently a war zone and that this race is meant to kind of build connection and help the fragile piece after they've had this long war from the species that inhabit this area.
Mm-hmm.
And Paris is arguing, you know, this is like Starfleet ideals. This is what we stand for. We should be supporting this. And shockingly, or not shockingly, maybe because Janeway always makes bad decisions. Janeway says, I think it's a great idea. And which I love that Janeway is totally into this.
Yeah.
I like the response, by the way, when she goes, I think it's a great idea. And Paris goes, you do?
You do?
And then Tuvok is, you do?
You do? Yeah, that was the good, double you do.
There was good comedy there.
I think Michael Taylor did a good job with this script. I really do enjoy the dialogue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some good jokes in here.
Yeah.
I, by the way, speaking of jokes, like watching this episode,
yeah,
I forgot that they actually gave Tom a lot of comedy on this show. Like this,
you had light, a fair light, amount,
light yeah. comedy,
sure,
like stuff like that, like the yeah. you do's, or there's just a lot of little moments that yeah. I was like, oh, that's cool, that's
yeah, funny. It was a cool moment for you, definitely.
Yeah,
this is a good episode for you for sure.
Yeah, it was fun, but she says in the end. Now that we're in this race, we are in it to win it.
We're in it Starfleet's to win it. Starfleet's
honor is at stake.
Look at that, Janeway, getting all competitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We go out to the hallway. Yeah. Tom is headed somewhere. We don't really know, but a glowing ball rolls up in the middle of the hallway, and he picks it up. The size is like a ping pong ball or a golf ball.
Yeah.
Tom picks up this glowing ball. Walks into sick bay where we see the doctor is practicing his putting from across the room into a glass or something.
Yeah. Another time where they're just trying too hard to make this thing look futuristic. In no way will golf ever go to a clear ball that has a little neon light in the interior of it. No way that will ever happen. So that kind of bugged me out. It was just like, what are they doing? I mean, it's great if you're 6-7 years old and watching this going, oh, look, shiny ball. But no.
Well, I don't know. Garrett, think about like for decades, golf balls were white, just white. And then they started making like one neon color.
Yeah,
like
that's right.
Range balls.
One. Yeah.
And now... you go to the golf, you know, you go to get golf balls and there's every color of the rainbow. And so that's changed a little bit already. It's
changed a little, but you can't make a clear ball. It won't even travel that far because I don't know. It just, it's bummed me out, period.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you have something that's sort of with a neon light that's flashing, that would work if you're playing nighttime golf for sure. Right. But no one really does that, right? So I don't know.
You're a traditionalist.
I am a traditionalist when it comes to golf, for sure. Okay. Alrighty.
They talk in sick bay, and the doctor thinks he's there to, like, you know, rub salt on the wound. I think he says, oh, you're here to, you know, I'm not going to be able to play golf. And the doctor basically reveals that he gave Tom and B'Elanna his holodeck time, and suddenly Tom's like, uh-oh. Again, some comedy in this moment.
Yeah. I thought that time was happening now. You know, from watching this scene, just an audience member, I was thinking, oh, wait a minute. He missed his time. And is that what you thought it was too? And
I think he realized, oh, I've committed to this race thing. And that's the time we were going to do our date.
Oh, yeah.
Tom basically leaves and... in 5 minutes, there may be a medical emergency in engineering. He's going to go tell B'Elanna.
Yeah. And the line that you said before that is even better. Do me a favor, doc. Keep a lock on my bioscience. Yes. What for? Because in 5 minutes, there might be a medical emergency.
There's some good comedy here.
Yeah. Michael Taylor. Good job. Good job. And you too. Good job on that.
And the doctor hits a ball for the button of the scene into the cup. I think that was a VisFX ball. I don't think he actually hit a ball in there. I don't think Bob made that shot. That was a very confident putt right into that small cup. I think that was a VisFX shot, but it looked cool.
Cool.
We go into engineering, and Tom basically says, you know, he's got this race. And I was surprised at B'Elanna's reaction. Like, oh, it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. She says, you're early, you know, and she drags you into this corner for this kiss. And I was like, man, this is the most romantic I've ever seen Belana Torres towards Tom Paris. Yes. This is amazing. Yes. Like this is the kind of dream relationship that you kind of, you know, would want to have.
Yeah. We haven't seen that kind of PDA much at all.
Never. No. You remember when you got promoted? Where'd she kiss you? You got a peck on your cheek. Like you were her grandkid or something. It was grandma. And now this is your equal, your lover, you know, your
gal. A lot of PDA, a lot of romance. She's but she takes the news about this race, you know, calmly, and she's disappointed, but she's like, no, you should do this. You know, the holodeck will be there. This race won't. So go do it.
And I was still waiting for her to backhand you the entire time. I know. Like, it's about to happen. She's going to do something where she tackles him. And so you're like, I'm fine. Just kidding.
But Tom does say, you're amazing. I don't deserve you. Like, that is incredibly understanding.
Yeah. And she's like, you're right about that. I love it. Great writing.
But she's very sad. She's like, you can tell when Paris leaves that this is, she said it's okay, but it's
not. She covered. I mean, she reacted, you know, upset right from the get-go, I think. You could see it on her face, but she covered well. And she's sad,
She's sad. She goes, we go to the mess hall and Belana comes in and she lays down. She plops down on the couch, which
she's never done that. None of us have ever done that.
No, I liked it though.
We've done it when the cameras aren't rolling, but when the cameras are rolling, we don't lie down like
that. But I liked it. It was very natural.
I like it too.
Neelix sees her and can tell something's up because she laid down the way she laid down. And so he starts coming over, asks if he can get her anything. And then Ethan Phillips, my feet. I've been on my feet all day. Yeah. I got to sit down. Just finding an excuse to sit down next to her so he can see what's up. That's very funny. And she's like, you know, if you're going to try to cheer me up, forget about it. She basically says to Neelix, like, you know, Tom should do this race. He should do what makes him happy. Mm-hmm. And Neelix is like, well, what about your happiness? What makes you happy? And she says,
it's time I face the facts. Tom and I just don't belong together. Exactly. And that's the first time you're like, what? Oh my God.
I know. That's what I wrote down. What? What?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But she says maybe love isn't enough. Yeah. And Neelix is like, yeah, I think it is. And Belana's like, no, my grandmother had a phrase, mokta, a bad Klingon phrase.
Mokta.
He says, I can't believe it took me 3 years to realize this. You know, having fun is enough for Tom, but not her. And so Neelix says, well, you know, you're going to tell him this? And she says, I'll tell him after the race. He says, well, that's not honorable, like to wait and let him disappoint you. Like, you're setting him up to disappoint you and then you're gonna tell him, like, so that I thought that was good advice from Neelix. I really did. I like that scene.
He was the voice of integrity is what he was.
We have a captain's log here where the captain says our request to enter the Delta Flyer has been accepted, and I'm meeting with the race coordinator, Ambassador Ozal, to Mr. work George. Out the date. Yes. And we're in the ready room. And by the way, over that captain's log, there was a shot in space of two ships flying kind of in side by side that I thought was just a cool flying shot.
Oh, it was.
It was very cool. Mm-hmm. So we go inside and Ozal's filling them in that they've got teams from, you know, all over the place that have come for the race, but not as far as the Alpha Quadrant. That they haven't had a team enter from the Alpha Quadrant. And I like Janeway's response. Well, we're always willing to go that extra light year for a good cause. Funny stuff. Good,
I
funny
like it
stuff.
too.
Then he gets a call, and he gets a call from his assistant. They've got a problem that one of the species in the race, the Oksanis,
The
they
Oksani.
want to host the post-race ceremony, but that will break the it'll break the peace if that's refused. And he's already granted another species, the Chesu, to host it. And so now they've got this pickle. Like, everybody's going to get insulted if they, you know, they all want to host the ceremony. And Janeway offers a solution. She says, well, we're neutral territory. Why don't you host the ceremonies here? And
Problem
Osal's like,
solved.
amazing. Like, I think he says something like, I hope your racing skills are as good as your diplomatic
That's
instincts or
right.
something like that.
Yeah.
We go to the mess hall. We pan across all these different alien species, you know, talking. I love their cool outfits.
Not as cool as ours.
No. And then they find us, and there's our race outfits, the cool white outfits that are just incredible.
They're so good.
Yeah. I know.
I
That's
want
the only
that.
thing I remembered from this
I know.
episode.
That's why you and I need to be on a hunt for our actual outfits and find the people that
Yes,
own
we
them now.
do. Somebody's got them somewhere. We do meet Asan, who's supposed to be the bad guy. Patrick Kilpatrick, so feels like the bad guy, feels like he's the guy. Arena tells us that he's ruthless, that watch out for him. And so Tom decides to go on a personal reconnaissance. He tries to introduce himself. Asan is kind of rude and staring out the window. And Tom says something like, you know, this we should have fun. This race is just for fun, right? And Asan turns to him. Well, if that's how you feel, then you've already
Already
lost.
lost. Thank
He's
you, Patrick
serious.
Kilpatrick, for
Yes.
telling Tom Paris what time it is.
And then we see Arena's co-pilot come in, Joxum. Joxum.
I love in the Chakotay, it says a man in tight leather trousers enters. My
Joxum,
God.
very handsome,
Yeah, and
very.
again, poor choice of alien name. It's too close to Jockstrap, so
Yeah.
I'm not happy with
And I
Joxum.
think her co-pilot, the actor that plays Joxum, was on the soap opera Loving back in the 80s when
Oh.
I was on All My Children. And I remember when that actor, what is his name? When he came in,
Wow, you do
Robert
remember.
Tyler, yeah.
Did you talk to him on set then?
I did. Because I remembered him from being on the soap opera Loving.
Loving, yeah.
And because we were both ABC shows and we shot
Right.
near each other
Yeah,
and
and you
would
would know the other
cross.
actors, especially whenever they
Yeah.
hired a cast a new actor, you would know. So,
And it was such a, because this was probably 2000, I think summer of 2000, we shot this. So I had been
yeah.
off the soap for a dozen years now.
Yeah.
And it was just such a flashback to see a face from somebody I had known
Definitely.
a couple of lifetimes back, you know.
So, do you remember the convo? You just kind of walked up
I
and
just remember
chatted?
us talking about the soap opera days and how he had come out, you know, from New York and off the
Yeah.
soap now. And, you know,
Yeah.
we just talked about being an actor and
Right.
the old days.
Okay. But I will say that the dialogue right there after she runs off to greet Joxum and you go, it looks like they're good friends. And I go, they're teammates. And then you say, close personal teammates. And then it does look like their boyfriend, girlfriend. And my
Yes.
word, I'm like, ah, oh, it was nice while it lasted. I love that interchange with
Yeah.
you and I thought it was
Yeah, it was
just
nice.
is really, really tight and well acted. And the dialogue
Yes.
was good too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yep.
Go to Astrometrics, and there's seven first, and then B'Elanna comes in. She needs a diagnostic on a sensor array, and seven is in busy doing race preparation. And she's analyzing the course to find ways to cut time.
Yeah.
And Torres says, oh, seems like everybody has race fever. And Seven says, well, maybe you should get the doctor to develop a vaccine. I was like, oh, that's a dad joke. And I love Jeri Ryan and Roxanne Dawson, but like the comedy is not like Jerry and B'Elanna and Seven are not where you go for comedy. You can go for dad jokes, but not comedy. Anyway,
I know, but it was interesting when she said, when Seven says, initially I did find the activity irrelevant, but then I realized that for the crew's morale and for my relationship yeah. with Lieutenant Paris, that line, I was like, oh, it's
well, that's soap what lands like for B'Elanna. Well, she's just talking about a professional relationship.
Right, right. But for B'Elanna, she's like, huh? Yeah.
But B'Elanna's like, oh yeah, like the way that we, you know, help each other with work also affects the way our personal relationships are. And so it sort of dawns on her.
Yeah, it dawns. This is the point where she decides she's going to make her move and ask Harry to swap out, right? This is when she realizes.
So. Yeah, she sort of has this aha moment. And we go to a space shot. We see the shuttles are all arriving, the racetrack lineup, you know, ships are there to view the race starting line.
Did you notice how the ships were all parked sort of like a real hot rod race back in the 50s where everyone's the cars that aren't racing are parked along the sides with their lights on
to
illuminate everything. Yeah, that's what it looked like to me.
It was cool. We go in the flyer and there's Tom waiting, you know, pushing some buttons, waiting for Harry to show up.
Yeah.
And, He hears the door open, and then he hears "say kapla," and Tom turns around, and they have this freeze frame of like, "What?" Like his face is. It's a funny
I love that moment, though. Yeah. I like that, and you are frozen. It was cool. It was different than what we normally see.
Yeah, it was B'Elanna taking a picture. She wants to, memorialize the moment. She says "say kapla," takes the photograph. Right. She says, I wanted to capture the moment, not to mention that cute, bewildered expression, which was pretty funny. And she's wearing the cool suit. She's wearing the same race suit that we love.
You're bringing that up, too. You're like, what are you doing in that flight suit? Mm-hmm. And she says that she's your new co-pilot. And you still think it's a joke. You don't understand what's happening. But she basically says that she was upset that you canceled the weekend, but she realized that, you know, why spend time apart when we can be together?
And this scene feels like she's made this great, has this great idea to come help Paris and join him in something that means a lot to him.
Yeah.
What I didn't like about this is the coverage of Tom up front.
Oh,
is kind of in a profile. It's not a great shot. And I guess what I mean is that the scene is about them connecting. We should feel like, oh, she's connecting with him. He's connecting with her.
Yeah.
But that kind of profile where I'm looking so far off camera, it doesn't feel like the characters are connecting. It feels more combative than connecting.
So she should have come down to the other seat. You know what I'm saying? That's next to you, right? As opposed to being in the background.
Or the camera should have come around to feel more straight on Tom and straight on her. And they can take moments to really look at each other.
Oh, okay.
It felt like they were disconnected.
Okay. So not in profile, but ahead, a direct close up, right?
I think that would have helped. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just, and I know that that shuttle is tough to shoot and to get cameras in certain angles, but that would have, I would have done that slightly differently because it did feel a little, I don't know.
No, I could see that.
The coverage felt a little off there.
I could see that. Paris then asks, what about Harry? Torres gets another shot at a joke from Michael Taylor. I assigned him to a level 5 diagnostic in engineering. And Tom's like, that's terrible. She's like, no, I'm just kidding. I told him how hard it was for us to get time together. He understood. So I really like the dialogue in this script. So usually it's Robert Doherty's dialogue that I'm gushing over. But now Michael Taylor,
Taylor did a good job.
Oh.
So that we start up the thrusters. We open the shuttle bay doors and out we go. We cut to the bridge. Tuvok says racers moving into positions and Janeway turns on the comm and lets the ambassador sort of make the opening statements, for the start of this race. Yeah. And after his big announcement from our bridge to all the racers, Janeway signals the start. And I guess the way we're starting is we're launching a photon torpedo that will detonate in front of the starting position and the race will begin. I just want to say here, we're taking a photon torpedo, which in the pilot, I think we said we only had 36 of them or something.
Yeah.
We've probably used 100. So there's already a problem. Like, you know, we don't have a lot of photon torpedoes.
Yeah.
but yet we're going to use it to start a race.
It doesn't make any sense. You're right. Yeah. And plus, it can be somewhat dangerous. You shoot a photon torpedo out and detonate it in front of the racers. I mean, that sounds like this could be a recipe for disaster.
And this race is supposed to represent peace, right? Not like weapons of war.
Yeah.
Like, we should have had a little cute bunny rabbit run across or something. Yes. Or a kitten.
Yeah.
Or some flowers.
A space kitten sort of running across. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
A space kitten going, no. You know.
No. Or someone could have had a confetti gun and shot confetti
out. Anything, but not a low yield photon torpedo.
No.
Man. Anyway, the race starts. We've got some shots of people excitedly watching. And then we've got this mess hall shot from outside of our ship.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that shot.
Oh, it was such a good shot. So cool.
And I don't know how they did that, because you could see inside the mess hall.
Yep.
But that mess hall was built near a stage wall. I don't know how they would have gotten the camera back that far.
Yeah.
They would maybe shot like pieces or something. Maybe like shot a couple of windows separately and then pieced it all together.
Well, however they did it, the shot looks great.
It looks great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looks really good.
Yep.
We are in the race. We see a space shot of the race going, and we see the Delta Flyer with a couple other ships, and he's cutting this buoy edge really hard. I love that shot of the Delta Flyer on its side, kind of cutting a tight corner there. We go inside the Flyer. Good teamwork between Tom and B'Elanna at this point. Mm-hmm. And then Asan comes up and bumps them. Asan, Patrick O'Patrick's ship, knocks our port thrusters offline, and Paris is compensating. Tom comments, he says, you know, that was an old trick we used in the academy. We used to call it scraping, but he's not worried about it. Like, he thinks it's all part of the rough and tumble game of racing, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then we go into astrometrics. I love this when Neelix comes in, asks about the race, and Seven gives like the most boring facts. Delta Flyer is in fourth position, having completed 62% of the course. The Oksani vessel is in third. And she goes through like the things. He's like, well, that doesn't sound very exciting. And she says, I'm relaying the relevant information. I like this. He's like, it's all in the delivery, Seven. Give me the microphone. And he grabs it and he's like, all hands, stand by for race update. He starts to sound like a horse race announcer. Yeah.
Attention, all hands, stand by for a race update. With only 58 million kilometers left on the first segment, the Oksani, Imhotep, and Terrillian ships are still battling for the lead.
It was very much like that, and almost like a radio play, you know?
Yeah, so, it was very funny. Janeway and Harry walk in, and they're immediately excited.
Yeah.
And even in that moment when they come in and Neelix is talking, Janeway says to Seven, wow, it sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
Seven's delivery. Well, apparently it's all in the delivery.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Good lines. Look at this. Everyone's got good lines.
Yeah. We go back in the Flyer. I guess we're now in third place. Arini and Asan's in first. Arini's in second. We're in third.
Arina. Not
Arina. Arina.
Keep mispronouncing. Arani.
Ablani. Sabrini. I don't know. Arena. But Torres is very confident. Then Paris mentions this Mobius inversion. And she's like, what? And then Tom's like, wait, didn't you read the race manual? Like,
yeah, the course
manual. Didn't you prepare for this? And she goes, well, I skimmed it.
More or less.
Little conflict brewing between Tom takes the race seriously. She's like winging it. Tom says, well, this is a tight, it's like a wormhole level 6 subspace distortions.
Yeah.
And as they get near it, you can see it. And it's this swirling, you know, this swirling wormhole that Tom says something like, oh, it's think of it as a little wormhole with a big attitude, which I liked. So they're going into a rough part of the race.
Oh, gosh.
I think we go back to astrometrics again.
Yeah, now everybody's in there watching. Like the entire crew seems to be watching this race. And Neelix is still doing the announcing, which is awesome.
It's all in the delivery. Yeah. He's drawn all these people in with his exciting report.
But the funny part is Tuvok walks in, right? And he's like, my weekly security report to give to Janeway. And she's like, I'll read this later, okay? And Tuvok's like, well, there are a few matters we should discuss. And Chakotay, all those JC shippers, sticks up for Janeway and basically says, shut up. You know, he's like, later. Yeah. She said later, Tuvok. I mean, he's just putting him off. And I just love how Seven starts talking about how the radiation from the Mobius inversion is blocking the sensors, so you can't see what's going on because they've disappeared from the sensors. And Tuvok starts getting into it. And then he's like, well, how will we track their progress then? And then Chakotay is like, we can't, not until they emerge from the other side of the anomaly. And then Janeway's like, well, you want to talk about the report now, Tuvok? And now Tuvok's like, no, later. If that's in his own Vulcan way, he's getting into the race.
He's gone from like, you know, doing regular business to I can't miss this race.
Yeah, which very is funny. Awesome. Really love it.
Back in the Delta Flyers, Torres, gets this idea about reversing deflector polarity.
Yeah.
And that's going to help them pass. And Paris says, now is not the time. We should wait. But she doesn't really listen to Tom. She gets up, adjusts the engines, the shields. The flyer surges ahead, kind of scrapes Irini and Asan's ships. Now we're in first. So yeah, Torres was right that it would work and get them ahead. But Tom didn't want to do it in the wormhole. And now we've scraped them and... we cut to Astrometrics. We see the crew cheering that the flyer's in first.
Right.
But back on the flyer, Tom's not happy that she didn't listen.
She says, I saw a chance and I took it. And you answer, I'm the pilot. And it just shows how... I do the flying or
something like that.
Yeah, I'm the pilot. That means I do the flying. So it was very... Right. You could see how hurt she was. You know what I'm saying? Because she was just like, oh my God. And you were just thinking about... I'm a boy. I love fast cars and this is my thing. And, you know, you weren't thinking about your relationship with her when you snapped at her, because you were snappy in my
world. Oh, I was very snappy. Tom was really snappy because he didn't understand, like, he didn't understand how in this moment she was kind of taking over the strategy and really the control of the ship. Like it surged ahead.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to be doing the flying and he had read the manual. She was kind of winging it and had this idea, but he didn't want to do it. So they had a little conflict in the race strategy. And
but it's funny because winging it is usually Tom Paris's MO.
I know.
And now look at this. The minute she wings it, Tom gets mad at her for doing it.
So. I know. But they get into this argument. And just when they're starting to argue and he's like, I'm the pilot, an announcement comes on that there was an accident and all the racers have to stop and hold their positions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't know in this moment if what B'Elanna did.
What's the accident? Yeah, we don't
know. Maybe, but what B'Elanna did, like Tom's mad at her. Maybe that was the thing that
caused it. Yeah. All right. So we go to sick bay and now we see that Jockstrap or Joxum is on the bio bed at this point. Yes. So he was the one that was injured. So your friend from the other soap opera is completely messed up and he's
poor guy.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Joxum is burned all over. Yeah. His console exploded. We learn here and Arena is blaming Asan.
Yeah, this is Asan's fault. And Azal's like, the commissioner's like, why? And she says, well, he collided with me so many times, my shield generator overloaded. Joxum's console exploded. He's lucky that he's still alive. So, immediately there's this pointing of a finger. So it's a bit of a red flag when people just jump at the gun right like that. So, and then we don't know.
We don't know. But she's blaming Asan. We go to the briefing room. There's Asan. And he says, if I... I'm guilty of anything, it's for coming in second. And it's a situation I will remedy in the next leg.
Sounds like a Tom Paris line.
It does. He is not ashamed of anything he did.
No.
But still very combative. And then B'Elanna says, well, maybe it was us. Yeah. Maybe we did something. We grazed their shields. And she's trying to take some responsibility. Tom kind of sticks up for a little bit. He's like, you know what? It was a tight course. Everybody was flying aggressively. We weren't doing anything different than anybody else. And Arena, continues to point fingers at Asan. It was Asan bumping us all these times. And then Tuvok enters and he says, He examined Arena's shuttle or vessel and found some evidence of tampering. And he's got this component in his hand, this like, you know, something that was not
a phase inverter. Is what
Phase inverter. It's not part of the ship. And it looks like it was rigged to explode. So it looks like sabotage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sabotage and not. So somebody's trying to sabotage them. And Azal thinks that this could be, you know, terrorists trying to end the peace, break the peace.
Yeah.
And Janeway's not, she's trying to stay calm and she doesn't believe that, you know, one act of sabotage could threaten the peace if they're really committed to it. And so he decides, but, you know, Azan is like, this is too risky to keep doing this. We're going to have to call the race off. And Arini says, no, it can't do Arena. Keep calling her Arini. I don't know why. I like Arini better.
I just leave you alone to it.
Arini.
You keep saying Arini and I don't even correct you anymore. I just let you go down that path.
Well, you say jockstrap, I say Arini.
Okay. But Azal is talking about how we should just cancel this race, you know. And Arina is the one that says no, because if we stop, then you'll let these extremists win. And Asan, the reptoid racer, says she's right. So two of the primary racers are like, we should just continue with this. And that's when Azal is like, okay, fine, let's do this. If that's the consensus, we'll start this up again tomorrow. Of course, Captain, if you decide to withdraw, we'll understand. And Janeway goes,
the last time I checked, I believe we were winning.
So she's like, no, we're going to stay in this.
She's
race.
Like Tom, very competitive.
Yeah, she's in it to win it too.
She is in it to win it.
Yep.
All right. So then we go out to the hallway, I think. And Tom, B'Elanna, and Arena are walking down the hall, and Harry bumps into them. And Harry pops out of a creepy corner somewhere. And
thanks a lot.
He says that he's talked to the captain and that he could be Arena's co-pilot since Joxum, aka Jockstrap, is so injured. He could be Arena's co-pilot, and the race officials say it's all okay. And she goes, I appreciate the gesture, but my ship is damaged. And Paris goes, oh, you know, our Harry, once he sets his mind on something,
Torres goes, he'll not only fix your ship, he'll polish the bulkheads.
Very enthusiastic. And Harry's
like, well, how can you turn me down? Arena's like, well, apparently I can't.
Apparently no one can refuse Harry.
No.
And we go in the shuttle bay, and there's a cool, shot of her ship and the Delta Flyer in the shuttle bay. I wish there had been some people moving around, though, because it felt a bit like a painting, that shot. Like, where's some life in the shuttle bay? You know, just some crew members walking or something would have helped it feel a little more legit. But we go inside the flyer. Tom's running through the plan with Torres, making her say these, like, nursery rhyme things. It's like, come on, you can say it. She's like, no, it's embarrassing. And he goes, I want to make sure you know what we're doing here.
Yeah.
She says, okay, right at the light, then readjust my sight.
Yeah.
I guess Tom is into these catchphrases because he's done this before. Another episode.
Oh, yeah, you did do that. Oh, my gosh. It was the episode about when we were going through the subspace vacuoles, and Janeway was saying, you know, no, Mr. Paris, I think our bio neuro gel packs can make those decisions faster than you can. And you you talked about how that offended you, right? In your video reaction.
And I had, I had some kind of nursery rhyme saying, and so like, I guess this is accurate. A thing that Tom does. And now he's making B'Elanna do it, which I love. And she's like, right at the light, then readjust my sight. And he goes, meaning? And she goes, come about 86 degrees at the red giant, then recalibrate sensors to compensate for the photonic interference. He goes, right, next. And then she goes, do I have to spend my whole morning reciting nursery rhymes? And he goes, it got me through the academy. And then she goes, you were expelled. Let's stop for a second. Yeah. Tom Paris was not expelled from the academy. Writers, deduction. He graduated. Nick Locarno was expelled from the academy.
So see, you are Nick Locarno. And look, Nick Locarno is Tom Paris in the eyes of the Star Trek writers. They can't get it.
Man.
They can't separate it.
I want to get to the part where Harry walks in with grease on his face, which you all know I hate when we have grease on our face because these ships don't, there's no lubricated parts like with you know, petroleum gel grease. Like, we don't use that. It's the future. There is no petroleum products being used, so there's no grease. Black grease.
That's a 20th century or 21st century construct, right? Thinking of, like, if you're working on a vehicle or vessel that's then in a race, you're going to have grease on you. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Good catch.
Anyway, Harry comes in all greasy. he says he was up all night making repairs, and it turns out they're just teammates, Joxum.
Yep. And, she's not in love with Jockstrap. She's not. Yeah. Okay.
And I love when Tom says, I was going to congratulate you. She's not a Borg. She's not a hologram. And she's not dead. Looks like you might have finally found the perfect woman.
These lines, this dialogue. Oh, my goodness.
Always teasing. And I like Tom and B'Elanna's looks to each other at the end when,
yeah,
when after Tom's line.
Yeah.
Okay, so we go out to space. We see the flyers in the lead again. Back to the bridge. Everybody's listening to Neelix call the race.
Yes.
Doing his racehorse thing. We're back on the flyer. And B'Elanna's starting to think about Harry and Irina. And I guess Harry told them that he and Irina were hitting it off.
Yeah.
And they really get along without even trying. They seem to fit together, basically. And she says, you know, this has her thinking about her in Paris and their complicated relationship, and maybe because they don't belong together. And Paris is like, wait, what? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like out of left field.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of goes, are you talking about us? Like,
yeah,
this seems very, very loaded.
You're trying to flesh this out. You're like, if something's bothering you, let's talk about it. And Torres is like, no, we should just focus on this race.
Just focus on the race. Yeah.
Nope. And
we go back to
when you notice. Yeah. You're like, well, maybe Harry and Irina, or Irini, as you say, aren't such a great team after all, because they're falling behind. And now we jump over to Irina's ship. And sure enough, Harry's reading some malfunctions in the EPS relays. And he's a little concerned because he's like, we double checked all of these last night. Irina says, we must have missed something because at this rate, we're going to be out of the race in a couple of minutes. So we're slowing down big time. Mm-hmm. So Kim's like checking things out. Kim's like, well, maybe I can reroute power through the impulse manifolds. And Irina's very, you know, like, very much against this. She quickly shoots that down. She's like, no, no, no. And Kim's like, well, why not? She's like, it could damage the reactor coils. And Kim's like, what do they have to do with the impulse manifolds? There's no correlation. Irina's like, well, these systems are, you know, they're different than what you're used to. And then Kim kind of realizes, you don't really want us to win, do you? And she's like, no, of course I do. And Kim kind of, you know, goes back and forth, but then he notices, he goes, oh my God, I'm reading an overload in my console, and dives
again
out of the way at the very last second. Yes, the exact same thing that happened to Jockstrap was about to happen to Harry, and Harry sort of avoids it. And, you know, she basically points
he
a gun
dives at dives out of the way. He dives out of the way.
Yeah.
And then as he's saying, you know, it's the second time you're, co-pilot's console exploded.
Yeah, quite a coincidence.
Turns back and she's got a gun pointed on him.
Gun at me.
And she's like, I'm really sorry. And Harry gets it now. He's like, you sabotage your own ship.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to get out of this race? Like, why are you trying to not finish?
Yeah. That's when I punch a control on the console and the ship just tilts. And I'm able to sort of, you know, run over and wrestle that gun away from her.
Yeah, he wrestles the gun away from her.
Yeah.
And now he's got the gun on her and he goes, I'm going to call the Antarian security and find out what's going on if you're not going to tell me. And then he realizes, uh-oh, she disabled the comm system.
Right.
So he can't call anybody. He can't call.
I just like how once I have the gun and I took control, I just like that how forceful I was. I just, you know, I wasn't
yeah.
I wasn't infatuated with her anymore. I knew that she was, you know, just not someone you could be, you know, be around. You can't trust this person. This person.
And Tom was wrong too, because he thought you found the perfect woman, but
right,
clearly.
But I like how he said, yeah, I like how Harry said, "What the hell is going on? Sit down and hold still." I love that one little line there.
We go back to the flyer. Now, this whole sequence coming up is like intercut quick back and forth.
It is.
The flyer and Irini's ship. I'm going to keep calling her Irini. I don't care.
All right. Keep going.
So we go back to the flyer.
Torres goes, "We're past the last marker. Time to deploy the thrusters." And you're like, whatever you say. Yeah, now you're like letting her do everything, right? She's Tom's like, well, what happened passive. To I'm the pilot? Yeah.
Tom's very passive aggressive here. He's like, yeah, whatever you say. You clearly want to be the boss.
Yeah.
So it's the two of them like in their passive aggressive, not talking to each other about their feelings, classic PT issues. Yeah. And you know, he tries to go back to talking about their relationship, and she keeps trying to change the subject.
Yeah.
And he says, like, did that bother you when I said I'm the pilot? He says, is that why you don't think we fit together? And she then asks him, are you talking about the race now? So they're just passive aggressively like sniping at each other, not being direct.
Yeah.
Back to Irini's ship.
Yeah. And Irini's like, you know, if we're going to just sit here with you pointing that gun at me, we might as well see who's winning. And Kim's like, you know, shut up. You know, you're not in a position to make any requests. And Irina's like, no, Harry, you're curious. So, yes.
He Kim checks turns the on flyer. The little,
checks it out. Yeah. Delta Flyer still leading. And Irina's like, good for them. That's it. And we jump back to the flyer.
Back to the flyer. B'Elanna finally speaks up. She says, she thought if they could do something together that he was really interested in, that it would help their relationship.
Yeah.
And Tom is like, I didn't know we needed help. I didn't know that there was a problem. And she's like, that's part of the problem. You didn't know. I like Tom's response. He goes, yeah, maybe we scrape shields occasionally. It keeps interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So he's using his car talk again.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, maybe interesting isn't enough. And then he basically hits all the controls. He's like, all stop.
Yeah.
He's done. And when we were watching this, Rebecca goes, oh, he fights like you.
Yeah. Can I just say right now, when you did that other thing, I sat there and I'm watching this by myself because I'm not in Calgary. Yeah. And I was like, that's kind of like Robbie in real life. Because when you're done, you're freaking done. I mean, you're you don't even know. It's so you. But anyway,
it's very continue. Me.
So we're back in Irini's ship. Kim notices, wait a minute, they're stopping. The flyer is stopping. They're dead in the water. And Irini starts to stand up to leave. And Kim's
Irina. Now I'm going to start correcting you. Irina.
Yeah. So Kim's like, So Irina does sit, she sits back down again, and she says, how far from the finish line? And Kim says, well, less than 1 million kilometers. And we jump back to the flyer, and the flyer shakes a little bit because another ship passes.
Asan has gone by. So now they're not in the lead anymore. Nope. Asan's gone by. And Taurus is like, why are we just sitting here? That was Asan. And Paris is like, if we've got a problem with our relationship, we're going to deal with this right now. So I like that.
I do love that.
B'Elanna needs Tom to say, it's funny. The guy who came on the show is, you know, on Voyager with the chip on his shoulder, didn't want to be real, is now grown and changed a lot. And he's the one saying, let's talk about this. I love that.
Yeah. This was the right move for Tom Paris for sure. Yeah. And in the eyes of Torres, many, many brownie points were bestowed upon Tom's head for him doing this at this point. So we're back in Irina's ship, and Kim says, you know, Kim now is the super sleuth. He's putting everything together. He's like, you've done everything you could to take yourself out of this race. Mm-hmm. Now you're worried that the flyer won't reach the finish line. Wait a minute. There's more than a dozen ships there, spectators, officials. And Irina says, all congregated in the name of peace. Touching, isn't it? So now her true colors are coming out, okay? Mm-hmm. She is the one that doesn't want the peace. And so Kim realizes she's planned this kind of an attack. And you know what's so crazy? And I'm getting goosebumps right now. This is kind of reminiscent of that attack that happened, the bombing in, was it Chicago or Boston? The marathon at the end of the marathon. Yes. Yeah. That happened after this episode was filmed, for
hundreds,
sure.
Hundreds of innocent people are there. Yeah. How can you do that? Harry says. And she says, not everybody is as comfortable with mixing species as you are, Harry. Some of us believe it would be better if we were separate. So clearly she's admitting they've got an attack planned, and it must have something to do with bringing the flyer and the part that she helped us get and all of that. So all this is starting to make sense now. And
most definitely.
And we go over to the flyer here. Tom is standing up. B'Elanna's standing up. They're heated. She's saying, you know, I never wanted you to throw this race. Like, I know how much this meant to you. And Harris says that she means more to him than anything else. And I love, you know, again, this quick cuts back and forth in the middle of Tom and B'Elanna's fight and about their relationship.
Yeah.
To kind of solving this mystery of the terrorist attack and Irina's ship. But Tom says, you mean more to me than anything. We go back to Harry. Harry realizes that it's the fuel converter now. And that's why she wants the flyer to cross the finish line.
Yeah.
So it will blow up there. And I did notice you've got some big close-ups in this scene.
I got a lot of close-ups.
Like tight close-ups, tighter than we normally do.
Oh my gosh.
Good lighting. Everything looked good. I thought it was good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the flyer. B'Elanna's shocked that he said she means more than the race or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, I never told you because I didn't think you would appreciate the mushy stuff. And he sees that wasn't correct. And he kisses her. And he's, I love this exchange. He goes, does this mean you're in the mood for some mushy stuff? And she goes, well, maybe. And Tom says, exactly what kind of mush are we talking about here? She goes, you tell me. And Paris goes, well, there's kissy stuff. And he gives her a kiss. That was nice. And then there's the, you're the most important in the world to me stuff. She goes, yeah, I like that one too. And then there's the happily ever after. He's like, what? How does that one work? And he goes, well, traditionally it requires a proposal. And he's getting ready to propose. I was like,
know.
Where's this come from?
I know. And honestly, I don't remember that happening in this episode.
I don't either.
Yeah. And my other comment is I almost changed my last verse of my haiku to Tom smooches a lot is what I was going to have. Yeah.
I should have put the mushy stuff in my limerick.
Yeah, you didn't use it either. Neither of us used the kissing in mushy our stuff. Poetry synopsis. But there's a ton of it in here. That's for sure.
Well, just as he's about to clearly propose, alarms go off. It's from Irina's ship.
We're being scanned by some kind of modulating pulse. It's from Irina's ship.
And then Tom recognizes, wait, it's Morse code. Tom, Harry and I used to do this on the Captain Proton
program
holodeck. We would communicate with Morse code.
Yeah.
So I was like, smart move, Harry, using the scanner to communicate with Morse code. Yes. Clever. Captain Proton is helpful again.
Yeah.
And Tom reads the Morse code. He says, fuel converter rigged, eject. They can't eject the converter.
Taurus is like, converters leaking viridium isotopes. Paris is like, well, why didn't the computer warn us? And Taurus says, well, the online sensors have been tampered with. So you guys had no clue that this leak was happening.
The leak was happening. Yeah, it's already mixing.
Too late. Too late. Yeah.
It's already reacting and mixing. Mm-hmm. Tom knows it's going to explode. We go to Irina's ship. Harry sees them moving away on the radar. He sees them heading off the race course.
Well, Irina actually says they're moving again. And so she's kind of excited. And Kim's like, away from the finish line.
Away.
Take that, you temptress. Right. Take that, you know. Yeah.
We go back to the flyer. They're trying to fly far away before this explosion happens. Computer says warp core breach in 30 seconds, then 20 seconds. Yeah. Tom in the scene says, will you marry me? So will you marry me? And he goes, you're proposing now? I love that moment.
It's great.
About to blow
it's
up.
It's great. Yeah.
And by
like
the
you're
way,
taking it into the Class J nebula, because that's the only way to contain this explosion. Yeah. Right.
So and
that's
by the way, purpose. I feel like Tom and B'Elanna have only shared their feelings like when they're on the death's door. Like when they're floating in space and they're just about to die, when she's going through her pon far things or whatever. Like, it's like they need a crisis in death's door to share any feelings. And I wrote down, we need therapy.
Well, okay, that's funny, but I feel like your therapy is to go on a holodeck, put both of yourselves in a life-threatening scenario, God. And then you will have, that's your therapy. Every time you're in life-threatening scenario.
They need to learn how to share feelings without a crisis.
They do.
That's the moral, that's the theme of this episode. I just changed my whole theme.
Good.
To share good. Your feelings without a crisis.
Okay, good.
Before a crisis hits. Anyway. They reach the nebula. Torres gets the ejection subroutines back online, ejects the core. Paris tries to take the flyer, you know, out of there. I don't understand science, so I don't know how they still can fly if they ejected their core.
Impulse.
Yeah, but they're
the
not going to get...
The warp core is only for warp speed, like if you're going to warp.
Yeah, but he literally said when this thing explodes, it's going to take out everything within 1 million kilometers. Like, we'll never get out of here.
Well, no, but that's why you're the Class J nebula. You flew it into the nebula because it'll contain the nebula.
And the nebula contains it.
There you go.
Helps make it smaller. Okay, mm-hmm. I got it. Yep. So as we're flying away, the thing explodes. I love the coverage inside the shuttle. There's a whiteout and you see Tom hit the deck. And that's how the flying should have been.
The first scene. Yes, agreed.
Should have been. We cut to the mess hall. The crew sees Asan pass the finish line, winning the race. And then there's this shock wave. And Janeway's like, what was that? She calls the bridge. Tuvok says there was an antimatter explosion.
Yeah.
And we go out to space. Mm-hmm. We see the broken flyer. And I wrote down, oh, man, we just fixed it.
Not again.
Not again. Back on board the flyer, it is, you know, it's dead in space, but, you know, Tom and B'Elanna survived.
I love this dialogue. Paris says B'Elanna, Torres is like, yes, we lost. Paris says, that depends, Torres, on what? On how you answer my question. So he's still asking the question after they almost died.
Yeah.
I love it.
And she says, you only ask because we were about to die.
Yeah.
And he says, well, we're alive now. I'm still asking.
Yeah.
And she's like, why didn't you ever ask me before? I agree with you, B'Elanna. Like, why does it take death for us to talk?
And I love when she says, why? Are you going to withdraw the question? Paris says, no, but I might start to beg. It could get embarrassing. Again, I love this dialogue. I really do.
Yeah.
Really.
More kissing with Tom and B'Elanna. And then we cut to space. We have a captain's log supplemental. The Antarians have invited us to participate in post-race festivities. And it allowed me to give two of my senior officers time off for a well-deserved romantic getaway. The Delta Flyer still needs a new warp core, but I don't think that they're in a hurry to get anywhere. And then we cut inside the flyer. There's Tom and B'Elanna. She's sitting on his lap up front. They're drinking champagne, toasting to the winners. Tom says something like, B'Elanna Paris, that has a nice ring to it. And she says, thanks, but I already have a ring. Anyway, I kind of like the sound of Tom Torres. He goes, I hope you're kidding. And she says, hey, it's the 24th century. So I love that they're still kind of got the banter, the power dynamic. And, you know, but they're married. We cut outside. And the Delta Flyer's flying away with just married painted on the back. And it's got cargo containers. Like,
it's tied. Cute. That's cute, though. I thought that was cute. You thought it was cheesy, didn't you?
They're married.
I know.
They're married.
It's amazing. And I love the Tom Torres line, too.
Yes, I do, too.
So what is your theme? What is your lesson for this episode?
My theme is Tom and B'Elanna. No, that's not a theme.
That's not a theme.
It didn't occur to me, but in this recap, yes. It occurred to me one of the themes is share your feelings before there's a crisis. Like, talk before you're about to die, mm-hmm. which just occurred to me in this. The other theme that I wrote down is just because you have differences doesn't mean you can't get along, which is true with these, you know, this race, you know, they're all these different species, but unlike Arena's attitude of, you know, we just don't belong together. Like Tom and B'Elanna, they do belong together. They've got differences, but they can get along and they can work it out. So,
yeah.
But I like the share your feelings before there's a crisis theme better.
I do like that too. Yeah. And personally, when I was thinking about theme, I this is just one of those episodes where I couldn't wrap my head around anything. I was like, well, maybe I could say this. Oh no, that's not really a good one. Maybe I could. So I didn't really have a set theme for this one.
This is a hard one to find a theme because it was just a lot about, it was romance with Tom and Paris's relationship. Mm-hmm. The story with Harry and Irina and and the, you know, the sabotage wasn't a super strong sci-fi concept. It was more of a thriller concept, I guess.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I this is more of a fun episode than a theme.
I believe so. Yeah. I believe so. Okay, how about your rating?
Well, there's a lot of deductions.
I know.
There's a lot of deductions, and it doesn't involve the whole crew, which usually is what's required for me.
Okay.
You know,
well, we see everyone else though. We do. We see Seven. We see the Doctor. We see they are involved more or less.
I guess not a huge deduction for that. Okay. There's some you know execution problems like the, you know, more dynamic racing.
Yes.
But I still had fun watching it, and I'm still going to give it an 8.2. That's what I'm going to give it.
What did you say? Say that again.
8.2.
Wow, good. I was so afraid because right off the bat. The very first scene, you started to dig into this one.
I know.
And I felt, oh my gosh, he's going to give this a 4. He's going to 4 it for sure. But you didn't. You went 8.2. I'm going to go a little higher than you. I'm going to go 8.6 on this one.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. I just like mainly because of the uniforms. The uniforms for me pushes it to 8.6. Those are the best. Dang uniforms.
All right. Well, the average captains and admirals rating.
Yeah.
8.3.
What?
8.3.
Look at that.
We're all on the same
episode.
Page.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're really all on the same page. It's a it's a mid eights episode, which is pretty high.
Yeah, it is.
Historically for us.
It is. Wow. That's pretty good. I thought that they were going to go lower, to be honest. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Robbie and I's recap and discussion of this episode, Drive. And join us next week when Robbie and I will recap and discuss the episode, Repression.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Repression.
Okay, then.
All right. We'll go with that one. All right. Thank you, everyone, for all of our Patreon patrons. Please stay tuned.